Hello again, Bernie Miklas here with another Bernie Show here on my own YouTube channel. Thank you very much for your support and appreciate if you hit the like button. Appreciate if you subscribe or you tell fellow Mizzou fans who haven't heard about the show here, let them know and please tell them to subscribe. And I thank you very much for your comments as well. Well, the Mizzou Tigers, I think we're fortunate to win one yesterday. How's that for stating the obvious? They survived in double overtime beating Vandy 30-27. Now, I want to give a little bit of a respect to Vanderbilt. I know they lost to Georgia State the previous game, but Vandy's got a good coach. They have an experienced defense. They have a quarterback who can make plays. So I know that people tend to look down on Vanderbilt. I think this has been a better version of Vanderbilt, but that's all I'm going to say about that. I just do believe in showing a little respect here. Missouri has got to play a lot better. I mean, they got to play a lot better. And once again, I know I'm telling you what you already know, but I'm going to try to pinpoint some stuff here as the video goes along. But last week, Mizzou trailed Boston College at the half and, you know, rallied for a, what was it? Now I can't even remember the score. They rallied for a rather narrow victory, although it was not a situation where Mizzou was in any danger late in the game or anything like that. And then they barely get by Vanderbilt. And that's not the way you want to go the first two real games you've played this season. I don't care about the cupcakes. It's out of sight, out of mind. Don't care. Doesn't matter. The Tigers clearly have another higher level in them, especially on offense. Clearly they are capable on offense of playing much better, being much sharper, much more explosive, being much more consistent. Moving the change, converting third downs, attacking and succeeding in the red zone. I mean, there's so many things that they can do better. I'm a big believer in that a win is a win is a win. You know, you don't reject wins. You know, this isn't like, you know, you catch a fish and, oh, well, it's not big enough, so you put it back. You have to put it back in the water. Okay, it's not like that. You got to win these games, even when you play ugly and you win ugly and you were fortunate to come out of this 2-0 rather than 1-1 or even 0-2. But I would say 1-1 was a distinct possibility because they could have lost that game to the Commodores yesterday. So the good news is that they survived these two. They survived themselves. They survived themselves. They were able, despite all kinds of problems, very disappointing offense, penalties all over the place. A defense that is good except for this really bad habit of blowing assignments and pass coverage, which was another factor yesterday. Also, Coach Eli Drinkwitz, who, frankly, I've never thought has been a particularly good game coach. He's great in so many other areas. Boy, he had a couple of big ones yesterday as far as, you know, making decisions late in the first half and then near the end of the fourth quarter. I'm not going to go into detail. If you're a Mizzou fan, you know about that. But that was ridiculous. And Eli Drinkwitz, to his credit, he owned it 100%, said especially that scenario near the end of the first half was stupid. He even said that and said that it's all on me. I got to do better. I messed up. So I appreciate that candor, but he does have to do better. I think it's good to go 2-0 and knowing that, you know, you didn't play your A game, you didn't play your B game. I would even argue you didn't even play your C game. Whatever's after that, I guess it's a D game. I don't know. But they were nowhere near what they can be or what we have seen them be or where they should be. And that's got to change because after a bye week, which is very, very important because they have a lot of things they can clean up, a lot of things they need to work on. I mean, a lot of things on the offensive side of the ball. It's a situation where, you know, the schedule gets tougher. They got that stupid game at UMass coming up. They play at Texas A&M. Then they go to Amherst, Massachusetts. I know there must be a reason. Why? Why? Doesn't make sense to me. You're in the SEC, okay? You don't have to go to Amherst, Massachusetts. And anyway, don't holler at me if I missed a wonderful reason why they're doing this. All right, don't holler at me. even if there is a reason, it doesn't make any sense. Then they'll have games against, you know, Alabama and Oklahoma coming up. All right. There's some things, like the thing that bothered me the most about yesterday's game, other than, you know, Coach Drink getting himself and his own team in trouble, especially at the end of the first half. And he was very lucky at the end of regulation. You know, Mizzou crossed their own 40 11 times in that game yesterday. 11 times they had the ball and got past their own 40-yard lines. And 7 times they got into Vanderbilt territory. And I know they were in the red zone, I believe, maybe 4 times. They got 20 points out of that. When you get past your own 40, you get into their territory as consistently as you did, as often as you did, you got to come out with more than 20 points. You got to come out of it. And this doesn't, by the way, this does not include overtime, because separate rules, you don't have the traditional drive set up. This is only the first 4 quarters. You know, 7 times in their territory, 11 times past your own 40, you only scored 2 touchdowns. That's awful. That's just flat out awful. That's not good enough, because they're going to see a lot better defenses than this. So what's going on here? You know, we can point a lot of fingers, but I'm going to point one. I know it's the easiest thing to do, which is to point it at Brady Cook, but I'm sorry. I mean, Brady Cook has not been as sharp as we saw him last year. He's not been as accurate as we saw him last season. When I say last season, I'm talking about SEC games, Power 5 games. I'm not talking about, you know, blood donor cupcake games, okay? I went through a lot of numbers this morning, and I don't want to overburden you with numbers, but, and this is one game. This is one game against an SEC team, Vanderbilt. And I went back and looked at last year, the 8 games they played in the SEC. And last season in SEC games, Brady Cook was under a lot of pressure, more than I realized at the time, watching it in real time. But last season against 8 SEC teams, I mean, he was under pressure about 29% of his dropbacks, which is huge. That's a pretty big number. But despite that, his accuracy numbers were really good. He was on target 71.5% of the time. He threw catchable balls 80% of the time. His yards per attempt, 8.5 yards. So despite being under the gun quite a bit, people in his face quite a bit, he made a lot of plays. He made a lot of plays, and he averaged, let me take that back. There was something I was going to put in there, but I'm not. Let me subtract that. So this season, well, when I say this season, it was only one game. They played Vandy yesterday. He was only under pressure 7% of the dropbacks. There's 37 dropbacks. He was only under pressure 7% of the time. So let me just recap. Last year in SEC games, just under 29% of the time, he was under pressure when he dropped back. Yesterday's game, first SEC game, 7%. So what would you assume with that, right? What I would assume is that his accuracy stats would be better, but they were not. Even though he was under pressure only 7% of his dropbacks yesterday, his on-target rate was down 5% from where it was last year when he was under a lot of pressure, right? His catchable ball rate was down about 3-4%. His yards per passing attempt was down by 2.3 yards, more than 2 yards lower than last year, even though the amount of pass rush pressure was much greater last year. And in terms of like adjusted passing yards per attempt, that was down about 1.5 yards per attempt. Now, this all adds up, right? This all adds up. These are not like little minor things. When you face less pressure, yet you are much, much less accurate, okay? That tells all of us, tells me, tells you, that something's not right here, because he was under pressure a lot. I keep saying it, but I got to drive the point home. He was under pressure so much last season compared to the game yesterday, and it did not really affect his accuracy. It really didn't. He was really accurate throwing catchable balls, on-target balls, things like that, averaging more yards per attempt. Also, the stat that I was going to tell you about that I forgot and couldn't find, so I said I'm not going to say it, but I just found it. Like last season, when he dropped back to pass, in SEC games, the average throw, the depth of the average throw was about 9.5 yards. In that game yesterday, it was 7-something yards, actually maybe even 6.8 yards, something like that. So even though he had much less time to get rid of the ball last season, Brady Cook threw it downfield on average, length of the target, a lot fewer yards in the air. And so that doesn't add up either, because if you are under less pressure, you should have more time to get the ball downfield and you should have a longer average depth to your throws. That wasn't the case yesterday. It's one game, but that wasn't the case. And let's face it, this kind of continues what we've seen, because we have this has not been the Brady Cook we saw last season, right? It just hasn't been. So he's just not as sharp. He seems hesitant. He seems to maybe not know or not be comfortable or not be 100% sure about where he's supposed to go with the ball. He's not as the energy level doesn't seem to be there, because I think it's because he's hesitating. And when you're hesitating, you're not going to look as energetic, you know, where you're making quick, fast, sharp decisions, you know, let's go boom, boom, boom. And so there could be some confidence issues. There could be some miscommunication. I don't know what the issue is, but we do know that it's a problem and he's going to have to play a lot better. Now, here's something else I want to, you know, kind of add to the mix. Let me turn to my notes here. There's a couple things. Luther Burden III, you know, has had three touchdown passes against FBS teams, and only three of their four have been against FBS. So he's had three touchdown passes. That's tied for first among SEC receivers against FBS competition so far. Now, that's fine. Okay. But a lot of other things, and the passer rating or the receiver rating to him is pretty high. But there's some issues here. And again, let's harken back to what I said. He, you know, has not been under as much pressure this year as he was last year. When Brady Cook attempts a pass, he targets Luther Burden III this year. The completion percentage might sound good on paper, but it's really not. 71%. That's eighth out of 19 receivers. In other words, receivers that have been targeted at least 15 times, 19 of them have been targeted against FBS competition at least 15 times. And Burden, in terms of the completion percentage to him, is eighth among the 19th. That's bad. That should not. It's got to be better than that. It's got to be much better than that. And I was looking at some other things about this. You know, the catchable ball rate thrown to Burden is down from where it was last year. The on-target rate was down compared to what was last year. One thing I wonder about, you know, Vanderbilt had a very experienced defense, and they seemed to know what Mizzou was doing. I think they scouted him very well. They got a really good head coach. I think they're a sharp-minded team. And I think that's one of the reasons why we saw so much hesitancy with Brady Cook yesterday, because he was expecting some things to be there and they weren't there. And he's holding on the ball a little bit. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I was surprised that there were only three no huddle snaps all day. And to be totally candid with you, I did not go back and trace which three. This could have been towards the end of the first half. It could have been towards the end of regulation. I'm not sure of the context, and I apologize for that. But I know last year, even though when they ran no huddle and threw the ball, Mizzou, in SEC play only, there were some mistakes. There, you know, you would like to have seen a better touchdown interception ratio. It wasn't very good. But I do know this. When they ran no huddle last year, and that sort of gives Brady Cook a chance to move around as well, because the defense is in chaos. He sees some things that wouldn't be there if you're in the standard setup offensively. And, you know, it's easier for him to take off because he can see where things are going, right, or where things are set up, or where the defense is open because the no huddle's kind of confusing him or whatever. All I know last year in terms of, and pardon me as I look down to my notes, last season in terms of yards per game, running a no huddle, yards passing per game, the only two SEC quarterbacks who did better, the only three, pardon me, that did better than Brady Cook were Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, Jalen Milroe, the Alabama quarterback, and Carson Beck, the Georgia quarterback. So even though there were probably too many mistakes would be the best way I would put it, and maybe that's why Kirby Moore thinks, well, we run the no huddle and we can do some damage, but last season it wasn't as efficient as we want it to be. I get that. But when he ran the no huddle last year, the catchable ball rate was really high. The on-target rate was really high. The average distance of throw is nearly 10 yards, so he could go downfield and strike more often. He did get sacked 10 times. Again, there were some mistakes, but they were able to use the no-huddle offense last year to get the defense out of position, cause some chaos, and sort of dictate the terms of the conflict, right? And I wondered yesterday watching the game, I said, you know, Vanderbilt set up really smartly. They know what's up. They know what to expect. They're basically saying, okay, we know what you're going to do, so go ahead. You know, we like our chances of getting stops here in the air game. And I think you had to introduce some chaos into that yesterday. Listen, man, I'm an idiot. I'm not a coach, all right? But I am an observer, and I have covered football for a long time, and I'm always trying to think, like, well, what doesn't seem right about this? And that's why I go do a bunch of research. Because I want to find out if, like, what maybe I'm seeing or I'm thinking, my instincts, I want to see if they're backed up by stats. Do the facts match my instincts of what we're seeing? And I think yesterday it did. And I think it's safe to say in the three FBS games, these things are all in play, things that I'm wondering about. But Brady Cook and these design runs aren't working. It's teams seem to have a much better scouting report. They had all offseason. I would hope so, right? So I wanted to mention that. I mean, rather than like just say, sitting here and tell you Brady Cook's got to be better. You know, I mean, I could do that and it would be a shorter video, but I'd like to actually go under the hood and take a look what's going on to the best that I can with my very limited knowledge in terms of what coaches know and what coaches see and things like that. I wanted to go under the hood because I like to see if I can identify some problems or maybe suggest something that could be done. And that's what I came up with today. Listen, Mizzou's got to get better. I know I say it over and over and over and over again. They had plenty of chances to score. They came up empty too many times. It was depressing to watch. They're not going to get away with it coming up. They're just not. So they should thank their proverbial lucky stars about this. Listen, last year is gone. I told a friend of mine yesterday, we were both kind of ticked off by what we were watching. And no, that doesn't make us spoiled, by the way. When you've built your program and you get accolades for the way you've built your program and you're doing so many things so terrifically, the expectations are higher. This isn't the same crummy, mediocre, or worse team that we have seen for a long time. Last year was extraordinary, 11 wins and finishing, you know, high in the rankings. But last year's over, all right? It's over. And if I may be cranky for a minute, everybody needs to shut up about, let's evaluate their playoff tournament chances. Just be quiet about that. Because there will be no playoffs for the Mizzou Tigers in 2024 unless they improve. And they improve substantially on offense. And they clean up the penalties and they clean up the blown assignments on defense. I don't know about the kicker either. I want to love the kid, but I don't know. I was bad yesterday, three misses. But mulligan, give him a mulligan. My point is that all this stuff, it's great to be excited. All right, I'm not that big of a grouch. It's great to be excited over the state of Mizzou football because there's so many positives. But let's just shut up about the playoffs. You know, I would say like Luther Burden III was on Paul Feinbaum talking about Mizzou's not getting enough attention or something to that effect. I've heard people talk about like, well, how come these Mizzou games are on the SEC network? you know, oh, what is it? We're the AAA program, you know, that kind of stuff. Hush about that stuff, okay? Hush about the stuff, because all that matters is how they play and whether they can live up to the expectations, the higher standards, and the hype. That's what this season is about. 2023 is gone. Your program is in excellent shape. But if you start talking about stuff that aren't anything within the control of the team, it's extraneous. And it's really kind of silly when the team, the offense, is malfunctioning the way it is, to be talking about playoffs or lack of respect, or we should be ranked here, we should be on this network, you know, that kind of stuff. Forget about it. Get it out of here. It does not matter. The only thing that matters is them playing well and playing a lot better and raising their game to where we know it can be. Listen, they return a lot of star power on offense this season. The two running backs, especially Noel, the one back, he's leading the SEC in rushing yards against FBS competition so far. He's been phenomenal. The defense looks good, but again, they need to just eliminate some of these mistakes. The NIL program is a big success. The recruiting is a big success. The transfer portal is working out well for Mizzou. Mizzou has the potential to become a more recognizable and prominent program on the national stage. That potential is there. Step one was last season. This is step two. But if you screw up step two, you're not going to get to where you want to be, not just to have a good or great season every now and then, but to stay there and to be a factor, a big factor every single year, or at least for a long time. I think everyone has a down year. Don't get me wrong. There's so much there, man. The budget for football has increased dramatically. The upgrading of the facility continues. It's very, very impressive. There's fan excitement. It's soaring. The money's coming in. The tickets sales are great. The marketing is improved. And they have an advantageous schedule this year as well. So everything is there. Everything is there to formulate and execute a great football season. But I hope the players have not been impacted by getting distracted by all of the excitement. And it's like, well, Mizzou should be on ABC, or Mizzou should be on ESPN. What is this SEC network stuff? Mizzou should get more attention. Not enough people are talking about it. I hope that stuff hasn't kind of gotten into the minds and hearts of the players, because they need to focus on getting better and better and better and better. And that's it. Forget all that junk. I'll say it again. It's all junk. It does not matter. And I think it's probably had an impact on kind of the mindset of the team. Hey, we're Mizzou. We're great. You got Boston College and Vanderbilt coming to the team. How can you be flat for both of those games? That's just ridiculous. You just haven't accomplished that much yet. And you can tell by the hat, I'm a huge fan. I'm a media person, which means I'm objective, and I'm never going to look the other way and be a fanboy. Oh, no, they were great. You know, I'm not going to do that when they're not. I'm going to always speak truthfully to the best of my ability as far as the facts that I have here. But, you know, I want Mizzou to win, really, really want them to win and be good for a long time. But only they can do that. The fans can't do it. Administration can't do it. The politicians in Jeff City can't do it. Nobody can do it except the people that actually control what happens on a football field. So that's my preaching for today. Mizzou, I hope they take really great advantage of the bye week. Sorry. And I look forward to talking to you again about Mizzou football. And I like doing these for you. Get the word out. Help me out. And I'll continue to do them, or maybe even do more of them. But thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Take care.